WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back. And hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning. And 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Mr. Weisberg.
How are you doing?
Running a little late. I left real early because I wanted to come back. We've got inspections again, smoke alarms. In fact, they're doing it every couple of weeks now. It's getting on my nerves. But anyway, I turned on to the internet. I saw the story. I guess you just must have put it. The Shamanchi.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still very upset about that. Now, the story says financial loss and all. I don't understand the financial loss because a lot of people were using the Shamanchi. What's the real story? And look how it ended up. That's what's really bugging me. That photograph you put there, that broke my heart when I saw that. They turned it into a party boat, and now it's going down.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess there was a while where it was actually, you know, out sailing and you could rent it out and you could have like private functions on it and all of that. But then that person sold it and there were some kind of mysterious people involved and who owned it for a while. And then it ended up getting sold to the boatyard where now it's just sat and begun to sink.
We allowed it to happen. That's what happened. So it took 90 minutes to get to the island. And so what? We got the sea streak or whatever they call it now. I think I might have seen it just one time. I don't know. I don't go on boats and ships anyway or even airplanes. So I know I don't have a right to complain, but yes, I do. That was a beautiful, the Shamanchi was beautiful. I've seen it many times and lots of people went on it. I don't know what the real reason could be. They still could have used it and they had to sell it to New York. Really? I don't know. I'm just outraged by that.
And just to be clear, I've seen some comments online where people said, oh, the city never should have got rid of it. The city didn't own it. It was the Steamship Authority that sold it. It was privately owned by the Thompson family, and then they sold it to the Steamship Authority, and then the Steamship Authority said they were operating it at a loss. I think it was an $800,000 loss, so that's why they ended up selling it.
How could that be?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how much you know about the finances of it, but that much of a loss when people were using it all the time?
I don't know.
Well, how much do you have to make to consider that you're having a loss?
I think part of the problem was...
I can't get it to think with you about Trump because you get all, you know, your underwear gets real tight. But this thing, they're always blaming Trump now. Oh, yeah, he's taking money away from the schools. Look, the schools weren't getting it because the Dems were stealing that money, but they're going to blame Trump for that now.
Well, how do you know that they were stealing the money? The New Bedford Public Schools was getting that money to be able to pay for these projects.
We all know that the Dems... What about all these millions of dollars that Doge found for stupid, idiotic jobs and laboratory animals, stupid stuff.
Right, but that was funded money. That wasn't taking money away from New Bedford schools.
Listen, they were stealing the money, Mr. Weisberg. You know that.
It's not theft. Don't it was an approved appropriation. You can disagree with whether...
You can't even throw him a little lifesaver. You can't throw him nothing.
No, I can't because he's not correct in this. It was not fraud.
Correct.
It was not fraud. You might disagree with what the programs were all about,
his
but they were approved funding.
Correct. The whole administration is incorrect, but everything was okay when Biden was there. Nobody was complaining or nothing, huh?
That's not true.
Yeah, now look, Obama's getting a divorce, married to a man anyway, and I don't know what... I don't know what her name is thinking because now she's dating Obama. Good luck with that. Yeah, I'm starting up because now everything's bothering me. When I saw that picture that you posted of that Shamanchi, I'm sorry. I don't hear anybody else talking about it. It didn't bother anybody at all.
From some of the comments I've seen online, yes, and people were upset about it.
You know, I come after them stories when I have time to go looking at them, and I catch them. I don't catch them all the time because once I get back home from my walk, I'm doing stuff I need to do, and sometimes I get to one or two stories, and sometimes I miss it, but then I see it days later.
Do you remember?
I like when you start. posting things of like inside of houses and historic places. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a lot of that stuff. Yeah,
I go after it too.
I think I read somewhere that the Shemanshi was unable to bring vehicles over. Is that true? I don't know.
Well, I don't think there was a place to put any vehicles.
I think that might have been part of, you know, why I'm just guessing here, just speculating, but that might have been part of why there were some issues with, you know, operating at a loss, because a lot of people, especially, you know, starting in the 90s, they wanted to be able to bring their vehicles over to the vineyard. They didn't want to be dependent on whatever the transportation was over there. So that became a huge reason why people were probably going to Woods Hole to take the ferry instead.
Well, maybe I could accept that. But the problem is, what bothered me the most, like I mentioned, was the way, look at it now. That's what's bothering me. Look at it now. That boat was still good. They could have done a lot of other nice, good things with that boat. And look at it. What, that picture you put, where did you get that? Somebody took that picture of it going down like that?
No, that's a screenshot from the video. The video that's in the story. That's a screenshot from it.
I'm going to have to go look at the video.
So basically it's a guy who's kayaking toward it. So you can see as he's kayaking down the river, he shows some other sights that you can see. And then he gets to the Shemanshi and kind of goes around it. And then he actually goes on board the ship and walks through it. So you can see the inside of it.
I'm pretty sure I saw them taking some bicycles though. I don't know about the cars, but I remember seeing bicycles.
Yeah, I'm sure they were able to take bikes. Yeah. Because you can put a bike on the Block Island Ferry.
Yeah, I'm sure if they're going to replace that with something, it has to be something better. Now, something else will come along after the Sea Streak. There'll be something else. The thing that bothers me most when I look into the New Bedford Harbor is when I see boats from China that come in here and they're there for weeks and weeks and bringing stupid apple juice. Like, we don't have our own. Something was going on with that. And I know that Phil Palliologos was onto it because I mentioned it to him. I kept talking about it. Guess he got tired of it. But he knew things were going wrong, and he could only say so much, too. And I still would like to know the real story about Phil and why all of a sudden he ain't there. That guy still had a lot of energy, and he was there every morning, more than what some of the younger guys could do coming in that early all the time. And I'm not talking about you because you're there early. But what's wrong with Brian, the cab driver? He's got to come in at 7. Can he get up at 6 like you do?
Brian does another program at night on the Internet.
Or on
another station.
He's getting paid. I'm getting used to having somebody on the radio at 6 o'clock in the morning, like when you're there. So get somebody else.
Oh, okay, but I'm still here. I didn't go anywhere.
Thanks for the time today.
Hold on. I got to hit it today, Mary. I got to hit it. Hold on.
Mary, why you bugging?
All right.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot more coming soon if I hear any more things like what I heard today.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You as well. All right. 508-996-0500. Let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? My brother-in-law works for the Steamship Authority out of Woods Hole. And we took the Shemanshi all the time. Well, because family members got to go for free.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was married to him, so I would go with her and the kids and stuff like that. But we brought the car over there from Woods Hole. But we liked taking it over here because getting the sun and all that stuff. And, you know, and it was a really nice ride. It was a beautiful boat, a ship. And then we met Peter Scolari there on the boat.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. What a nice guy. Him and his wife and his little boy. It was only a baby, so it was probably just one. I think it was a boy or a girl. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell. Had short hair, but he took pictures with my my sister. She had a foster daughter that was Down syndrome, and then Karen's, my sister's Karen's daughter, and he took pictures with them and stuff like that. And then other people started seeing him, so they went up front and sat with the captain, I guess, of the ship. But,
so this would have been the Bosom Buddy days or the New Heart days?
Yeah.
Or?
No, it was. It was right after the Bosom Buddies days. Yeah, I love that show. And New Hot, yeah. But he died, huh? Jeez,
yeah, he did, yeah.
So he was young. What a nice, nice guy. Very personable. He was very sweet.
And him and Tom Hanks remained lifelong friends, too.
I know. That was a great show. That was a shame when that happened. But, yeah, we used to take that Shemanshi a lot. And it was a really nice ride. I liked it. My mother used to like to go too, and she used to sit in the, she'd sit there with her head up in the air, get, try to get a suntan, and she always got tanned because she was Italian, so she got the tan that I burnt. I got the Irish blood, but
Now it's just sinking in the creek in New York.
That's a shame. What a shame! I didn't even know it was out there. I haven't heard because he's retired from the ship. His father used to work, and he had to wait for his father to retire because they didn't. You had to wait until a family member retired before you can get the job on the boat. And they made really good money, really good. But it was a long ride every day from Wareham to Woods Hole, but he did it every day.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
No.
A little less than half an hour, probably.
Anyway. Oh, is that it?
Yeah, it's not that far.
But anyway, it was a... I think see people brought their bikes over on there, didn't they?
I'm sorry?
I took a bus over there. Didn't people get to bring their bikes on the
ship?
Yeah,
you could bring your bikes on, but I don't think it could take cars. People wanted to bring cars to the island.
They didn't have anything. No, they didn't have a place to park in there. But when I got over there, I took that bus ride once. Oh, my God. They drive like maniacs. You have been over there? On the bus?
I've been over there twice, once with my dad and once with some friends. And with my dad, he was working, so we took his work truck over. And then with my friends, we just used cabs.
That bus ride was horrible.
We used a cab to get from the ferry to my friend's grandmother's house, and then we just used her car the whole week we were there, the whole weekend.
That was nice. You had to save the house.
Yeah, they had a house that they used to use as like a bed and breakfast, and so they had plenty of room for everybody. It was great.
Oh, that was nice. Well, that's fun when you go and see a lot of friends. I've been over there with friends, too. We didn't have anybody that lived there. We just, you know, walked around most of the time. And they had moped, but I wouldn't ride one of them. Now, that bus on the road.
No. But maybe if I go back, I'll do the moped thing.
There you go.
All right.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
And let's take another call here before we go take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. So the Scamacci is sinking? Is that what's going on?
It is, yeah. It's. I'd say probably, if I had a guesstimate, I'd say like 50% sunk, maybe even a little more.
Yeah. And they were taking an $800,000 loss a year or overall?
I think that's the number that I saw, that it was operating an $800,000 loss. That's all that I saw.
Yeah. And people don't realize the maintenance, that how expensive maintenance is on a boat today, especially the boat that's going to be Coast Guard inspected all the time because it's carrying passengers. And the labor, like a shipyard today, is probably getting close to, if not more than $200 an hour. And you're constantly working on a boat like that. It never ends. And the older they get, the worse it gets, too. And you're always chasing after stuff. But, yeah, I can imagine. Every time a boat like that gets hauled out and they work on it, you're probably looking at $100,000, if not more, you know?
Yeah.
Just the expenses are, phenomenal. And that boat's been around for at least, 60 years now, hasn't it?
It was built in 1978.
In 78. Wow. Oh, really? So that was there was one before that. No, I guess actually the first time I went on that was after that, was probably 1980 or so. Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah. Yeah, it's getting up there in years. Yeah, for sure. So, that's too bad.
Getting up there in years. I was born in 1978, too. Are you calling me old?
Yeah, well, I was born in 1956, so I'm past that stage. That ship sailed, man.
Literally.
It's scary when you read about or find out about people 10 years younger have passed away.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Than myself, you know. It's kind of it's an eye-opener, that's for sure. Well, anyways, there's another landmark gone by, but too bad. Hey, keep up the good work.
Thank you. Have a good day. Tim. Take it easy. All right, callers, hang on. We will get to you, but I've got to take a break here. And people want to get the first code to try to win some money. So make sure you get that app open because it's time to make that money talk. All right, let's take a quick call before we go into the newsroom with Mike Roberts. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, when a few years on the Scamacci, they were allowed to take motorcycles. I think it was 10 was the maximum. And then all of a sudden, the Coast Guard came around one year and said they couldn't take any vehicles with gasoline tanks for whatever reason, because he used to storm back toward the stern of the ship because it was all open like a giant, well, almost like a giant pickup truck of a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny when the Steamship Authority took over years later, motorcycles were allowed to go back on again. So it was always the thing that the Steamship Authority got something going with the Coast Guard to get them off.
Ah.
That's just the thing. Yeah, it wasn't big enough to take a car at all.
Yeah, I just...
It was motorcycles for a few, 3 or 4 years.
I was just speculating that the cars might have been a reason why, because, you know, somebody said, no, they got rid of it because, Joey says in AppChat, they got rid of it because the Fast Ferry came in. Well, no, they got rid of it because they had $800,000 a year in operating losses for the last 3 years. So if it was making money, they never would have needed to replace it. So I think that what happened was, costs go up and ridership probably went down.
Oh, that's what I think. Yeah, because all of a sudden, everybody would talk about the Shimanchi, then it just sort of like disappeared. You never heard anybody mention going on it anymore. So I don't know if the trips itself weren't as good going out there. But just for that, I just wanted to add that in on the story, too.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right, bud. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
And if you want to call in with Shimanchi Memories, 508-996-0500. But that's probably, a big part of it. Is I think you've got more of a desire these days to... Do you really think people want to get there that much faster? Is 90 minutes compared to an hour that big of a deal for people who are going over? I mean, I know it's a bigger deal if you're leaving from New Bedford as opposed to going to Woods Hole and then leaving from Woods Hole. I mean, obviously that saves you a lot of time. Especially in the summertime trying to get to the Cape. But if you were leaving on two ferries that left from New Bedford and one was going to go get you there in an hour and one was going to get you there in 90 minutes, would it matter? I mean, I think the people who really care about the time just fly over, right? But I don't know. I like being on a ferry. I like taking the ride. The one time I went to Block Island, I was kind of a little upset that I was going with somebody who brought me over for an event, and it was our first time ever meeting in person, so we were having a lot of conversation on the ferry, and I didn't actually get to go out and like experience what it's like being, on that ride, because we were just locked into conversation. But I'm sure I'll go back at some point, just for the day, though. I can't afford to stay there overnight. Crazy money. 508-996-0500. We'll take some more of your calls coming up. But right now, let's turn things over to Mike Roberts in the WBSM Newsroom.
Another measles death in Texas. President Trump planning a military parade for his birthday. And congestion pricing likely to stay in New York.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A federal judge says the Trump administration violated a court order when it paused FEMA funding. On the day of his inauguration, President Trump signed an executive order to rescind millions of dollars in FEMA funds to states. On Friday, a judge ruled that the move disobeyed a court's previous order that blocked the administration from withholding federal funding. A 25-year-old woman clinging to life after being stabbed in the neck on Monday in Lower Manhattan by a man wielding a broken bottle.
The NYPD says the terrifying attack was random and happened at the corner of Worcester and Broome Streets in Soho. At about 3 p.m., a man wearing an NYPD hoodie and gold chain approached the woman and slit her neck with a broken bottle. She's reportedly in critical condition at Bellevue Hospital. The suspected stabber was arrested at the scene. He gave a fake name to police who say he appears to be an emotionally disturbed man in his 40s. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
American cattle ranchers are lining up behind President Trump's tariffs on beef. Steve Lucy is a fifth generation cattle rancher out of Illinois.
We have to deal with a little bit of pain to have some gain, right? And I think we're going to have to just do that.
Lucy says a lot of countries have been imposing tariffs. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says President Trump is taking action to address numerous trade barriers that prevent consumers overseas from enjoying high-quality, wholesome American beef. President Trump scoring a big victory in the Supreme Court. With the 5-4 ruling yesterday, the court will allow the Department of Justice to remove alleged Venezuelan gang members from the country under the Alien Enemies Act. The ruling ends a lower court freeze on Trump using the act. Trump may now invoke the 1798 law to speed up removals while things play out in lower courts. A second Texas child has died in a measles outbreak that has grown to more than 500 known cases.
The State Department of Health and Human Services did not release specific details on the victim. They would only say it's a school-aged child with no underlying condition. The death is being attributed to measles pulmonary failure. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said in a statement that the most effective way to prevent the spread of measles is the MMR vaccine. I'm Lisa Taylor.
President Trump firing one of the top U.S. military officers at NATO. That's according to multiple reports. Navy Vice Admiral Shoshana Chatfield served as the representative to NATO's military committee, let go for unknown reasons. It comes as the Trump administration fired the head of the National Security Agency last week. A 54% tax on imports from China by President Trump is impacting businesses in one of Northern California's most visited regions, San Francisco's Chinatown. Kirk Gibbs, president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Shanghai, says tariffs are now higher than ever before.
Are these permanent tariffs where he's restructuring the whole global trading system, or is this a negotiating position?
Chinatown businesses used to avoid extra costs from previous tariffs by routing goods through Vietnam or Latin America. The most recent tariffs have limited their options. Most goods for businesses in Chinatown come from overseas. Business owners say higher costs for them could mean they'll have to pass the buck on to the customer. It looks like congestion pricing will stay in place in New York until at least the fall. Kristen Marks has the story.
The Trump administration has given the MTA the deadline of April 20th to put the brakes on the tolling plan while the agency insists it isn't going anywhere. Now the MTA has submitted court documents to a federal judge that show that they and the feds are agreeing to a timeline of legal motions that span several months, meaning the deadline won't be enforced. Betsy Plum of the Riders Alliance has seen the documents.
We won this program over many, many years. It isn't going anywhere soon.
The federal government could still try to put its foot down on the deadline, but a decision on that would likely be up to the judge.
WBSM Sports.
Sox lost to the Blue Jays 6-2 last night. Those two back together tonight at 6:45. Bruins take on the Devils in New Jersey tonight at 7. Celtics are in New York with the Knicks at 7:30. As the 2025 Masters continue this week, Augusta National announcing a partnership with Tiger Woods. Here's more from Liz Kennedy.
The collaboration between the pristine golf club and five-time Masters champion will be a project focused on enhancing education and golf accessibility in Augusta. It will do so through the TGR Learning Lab at the former Lamar Elementary School, providing STEAM education for Richmond County students. The lab, scheduled to open in April 2028, aims to support under-resourced communities through career readiness and hands-on learning. Part of the project will also include renovating the city's municipal golf course, The Patch. I'm Liz Kennedy.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It is going to get pretty darn breezy with gusts up into the 20s, 30s, and some in the 40s, not out of the question. Temperatures in the mid-40s today, a little bit cool for this time of year, but at least we leave the rain behind. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
35 years ago today, Twin Peaks debuted on ABC. Unlike anything anybody had ever seen on network television before, and kind of paving the way for the type of series that we see now. But again, groundbreaking. Just the storytelling and the characters that were involved. And, you know, certainly the first season. The second season kind of gets off the rails a little bit. But if Twin Peaks had existed or had initially debuted now in the time of where it's okay to have an 8-episode series, or even look at what they did with The Return a few years ago, you know, where you can craft just the number of episodes that you see instead of having to stretch it out for 22, which they made them do for the second season. You know, I think it would have been a very different show. But in the end, a whole universe, a whole mythology created, and it all began today. 35 years ago, the debut of Twin Peaks. The whole country, at least the folks who tuned in to watch it, asking who killed Laura Palmer. And we celebrate this 35th anniversary just a few days after David Lynch's grave marker has been unveiled at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. So he passed away in January at the age of 78. And honestly, the world has not been the same since he left it. We haven't had beautiful blue skies and bright sunshine since then. That's an impression I do with love. But his grave marker was unveiled, a very simple stone. It just says his name, his full name, David Keith Lynch. The date's 1946 to 2025. And the three-word phrase, night blooming jasmine. And that actually has a meaning. In a 2016 interview with another magazine, Lynch said, "When you fly into LA at night, it's all lit up, miles and miles of lights, so beautiful. It's a very fast image, but within it, there are these places that talk about memory. You know, on a summer's night, maybe more like a spring night, you could drive to certain places, and if you smell that night-blooming jasmine, you can almost see Clark Gable or Gloria Swanson. The golden age of Hollywood is still living in some moods here in the DNA of the city." And that's the love that he had for Hollywood. Even though he was, you know, a rebel within it, did things his own way. I mean, think about this. If you aren't familiar with his work, maybe you haven't seen a David Lynch movie since Dune or The Elephant Man. But he made a bunch of commercials in the 90s that when you watch them, you say, oh, I remember this commercial. Oh, this was disturbing. He made a series of commercials for PlayStation that, I think it was the PlayStation 2, that when I saw them, I was like, I don't know what this is, but this isn't for a video game system. What is this? And then you find out, oh, that's David Lynch. Oh, I should have known. But a true genius, a true creative genius, and someone who was still working on ideas and projects. I'm sorry that we never got the series that he was working on with Netflix. I know someone that worked at Netflix, and I was always trying to get information from her about it, and she couldn't say anything. Even now, she still can't say anything, and she doesn't work there anymore. All the weird things that I like in life is probably due to David Lynch, so that's a high compliment. And Twin Peaks, again, 35 years ago today. So 5 years ago, I was hosting the Midnight in the Desert show. You know, we were all in lockdown. Nobody was leaving the house. We're all stuck at home. And I was hosting the Midnight in the Desert show for the 30th anniversary of Twin Peaks. We did an entire Twin Peaks week. I'm sorry, no, it would have been, I would have already been hosting Midnight Society. Well, anyway, we did Twin Peaks week, and I got to interview James Marshall, Michael Horse. I got to interview Mark Frost, the co-creator of Twin Peaks. I got to get those podcasts out. I got to find the audio of those and get them out again. Christabel, who's in The Return. Oh, just what a week getting to delve into that. And we were all set for me to travel to Graceland for the 30th anniversary celebration of Twin Peaks. And then because of COVID, couldn't do it. Didn't happen. But anyway, maybe if you haven't watched it in a long time, start a rewatch tonight. You can catch it on Paramount Plus. Or maybe you've never seen it. I would recommend it if you are into things that are a little bit offbeat and unusual. Again, you've got to kind of get through a little bit of season two. It gets a little like, come on with this storyline already. But then that takes you into Fire Walk With Me, the feature film. Then I would recommend watching The Missing Pieces, which you can catch on YouTube. It's all deleted scenes from Fire Walk With Me, but it adds some more to the story. And then The Return is just incredible television. Episode 8 of The Return is up there with the top episodes of television ever produced. In terms of its, I would put that maybe as number one, and Breaking Bad's Ozymandias, the penultimate episode, is number two. Anyway, 508-996-0500. If you want to remember David Lynch, if you want to remember the Shumanji, if you want to remember Twin Peaks, if you want to talk about anything, but I've got to take a break right now. We'll be back in a few. Oh, my fault. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in the final time that we have. Got an app chat message from Joey, who said that he had a problem with getting MoneyTalks to load up on his phone. So if you have any issues with that, my suggestion is, and Joey, let me know if this worked for you. I would suggest refreshing, closing out the app and restarting it, the WBSM app, or rebooting your phone. There's a lot of images on that page with all of the different boxes that you can enter in. So, that might kind of get hung up a little bit as you're waiting for those all to load. That might be part of it too. So if you're in an area with a slow connection, that might cause an issue. Just because there's, again, so many boxes for you to enter, so it might take a little while. Or if your phone is pretty full on storage, that might slow things down a little bit too. But hopefully you got it figured out. I know that I tried loading it when I saw your message on both on my laptop and on my phone. And I got it to work. So anybody that has any other issues, feel free to send an app chat message or an email, tim@wbsm.com. But don't send me a message asking me for the code. I can't give it to you. If you missed it, you missed it. I can't give it to you after the fact. You got to be listening. And we're going to have 9 more codes for you today. 1 every hour through the 5 p.m. hour. And then we'll do it each weekday. Your chance to win $1,000. And then coming up later on in the contest, $10,000 Thursdays, the final 2 Thursdays. And Money Talks on WBSM is brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. They make it possible for us to have this great contest and your chance to make that Money Talk on WBSM. But right now, you can talk at 508-996-0500. We were talking earlier about the hot chicken challenge that's happening at Smashed. Downtown New Bedford, 6 super spicy, and it's a Carolina Reaper pepper rub. So it's not even a sauce, it's a rub. A Carolina Reaper pepper rub. If you can eat 6 of those tenders in 5 minutes or less, no drink, no dipping sauce, no bread, you are going to win $2,700. That is the current prize. They keep upping it as nobody completes the challenge. And they're taking the money that they're raising from people taking the challenge, because it does cost money to participate, And the money that they're raising is going to go to the New Bedford boy who needs a kidney. And you can read more about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. When Gazelle had that story about the boy needing the kidney, I think it was last week, overwhelming amount of support. People on the comments on social media, like, how do I donate? I want to give him mine. How do I do it? Like, just, I couldn't believe the outpouring of people. You know, Mary wanted to donate her kidney. But there were people everywhere saying, I want to get tested. I want to see if I can do it. And my recommendation is, if you are willing to give up a kidney, go and get tested. Because what will happen is, if you're not a match for this particular young man, Michael, then there might be somebody else that you are a match for. And they're not going to force you because you said, oh, I'm willing to donate a kidney to him. They're not going to say, well, he's all set, but we need to donate to somebody else. They're going to give you the option, and you can think about it, and they'll give you a little bit of the background info, I'm sure. But there are lots of people who need those kidneys, including the guy that just walked into this room. So anybody that was feeling generous enough to give their kidney to young Michael, if you'd like to give your kidney to Chris McCarthy, I'm sure he'd be I'm sure he'd be happy to take it. And if you want to give him two, even better.
Tell me where that Michael kid is.
Oh, we joke because we know we're going to be able to save that kid's life. So, but also,
by the way, I'd give him a kidney. If it came up between me and him, I'd give it to him.
Right.
I swear to God, I would.
Yeah, if you didn't hear that, Chris said if it came down between him and him, between him and Michael, he would definitely give Michael the kidney.
That kid's young, right?
Yeah, 18 years old.
I don't.
So just don't give him your kidney if you go and take the hot chicken challenge and try to eat those hot, because you're just going to destroy all your organs. So I don't know that would be helpful, but 508-996-0500. We'll come back and wrap things up in just a few moments. And welcome back in. That is Everclear. Everclear was great toward the end of the 90s there. They had a run of a couple of albums there that were just phenomenal. That one was from So Much for the Afterglow, which was their third album, but their second one after they hit it big. So, and if you've never heard some of their stuff, great lyrics. You know, the Art Alexakis wrote some very introspective lyrics about what it was like growing up. Obviously, that song's about his dad not being there for him, but songs about his drug addiction and the relationships that he was in during that time, and just kind of how he was never really a normal functioning adult because of the way that he grew up. Kind of themes that were very 90s for the music of the era, you know. Not the party rock that would come later, but certainly something worth listening to if you are in your feels, as the kids say. All right, well, that's going to do it for me for today. Tomorrow we will be back. I will have, I believe, Rosemary Gill from the Zeiterion is joining us, but if not, someone from the Zeiterion will be joining us to give us an update on the progress over there, on all the renovations. And don't forget, for Fun Friday this week, we're going to have a special guest in here with us. Singer-songwriter Grace Morrison will be here. She has a new album coming out of sea shanties and other songs, nautical theme songs. So she's going to be in here to talk about that and talk about, I think she's going to perform her new song for us. I haven't asked her if she's going to perform, but I'm going to make her perform. And that's sing for me. That's why I'm going to make her do that. And but we'll have fun on Friday talking with her and talking about local music. And I think I'll ask question, my Fun Friday question will be related to local music. So you're going to want to tune in for that. Everybody out there, and if you haven't read my story yet on the Shimanchi and seen the video about where